You ready for the word of the Lord tonight? Let's stand together and look at what his word has to say to us about kingdom culture. I like this passage, and there's several key words in it. And it starts out by saying, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. I'm going to preach that tonight. Behold, I will do a new thing. I'm ready for that. I'm thankful for that. I anticipate that. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Well, only if we're kind of spiritually sleeping, we won't know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I will do a new thing. That's all a part of that sentence. It will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness, which means watch me do the miraculous. But you can't even imagine, watch what I'm going to do. I'll open up roads where there was never an opportunity for anything like that to happen. Rivers in the desert. Father, be honored here. Holy Spirit, reveal kingdom to us. Abba, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. First of all, I want to say to you, God has favor for you, and your praise level determines how fast it gets here. Amen. I said, God has favor for you, and your praise level determines how fast it gets here. Because God is a God who loves to be in the middle of great praise services and worship services. And God's going to pour out his favor, and as we praise, he will manifest himself. That's when he manifests his presence. Now, the kingdom, kingdom culture, part three. Some call the church out of date and out of touch in a culture that's spiraling in the wrong direction. They've got a lot of nerve trying to point something out with us. The church is spot on. When you see the messes our culture is getting itself into comparatively, church is spot on. And God is speaking to us to behave ourselves and conduct ourselves with Christian values. And those are for our protection because he loves us so much. Father is saying, like a good father would say to a child, if you touch that, you're going to get hurt. I don't want you hurt. Step back from that. Step away from that. Amen? So as we praise, he manifests himself, the kingdom. Some call the church out of date and out of touch. The church is more than a meeting on a Sunday. Far more. We are athletic in spirit. Now, stay with me. I said we are athletic in spirit because we train well for what we do. Okay, I belong to a club in high school where we had to be on the campus by 6 a.m. because before school classes began, we were through over an hour in practice and rehearsals and preparation, and that was a part and parcel of those of us that were on specific teams. Listen, we are athletic in spirit. We train well for what we do. And because we trained well, we won championships. That's what happens when you train well. The kingdom is competitive. Having a strong desire to compete or succeed. And we are not competing against one another. No, because we are one. Say, we are one. We are in unity. And our greatest competition is against our last success. Whatever we did yesterday doesn't measure up to what we are to do today. Let me repeat that because some people get stuck back here. Whatever we did yesterday doesn't measure up to what we are to be doing today. There's an element in the church that God desires to release. And listen, and when he does, his plan is that we will improve in each season. So forget about accomplishments of the past. So let's look at what the prophet is trying to teach us here. So forget about the accomplishments of the past. We will improve in each season. We will get better as the season progresses. And God is ready to exceed himself. Now watch. You're in training for reigning. Amen. So if you've been, listen what Paul writes. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for the gold medal that tarnishes and fades. So he's pretty realistic about this. This stuff is all going to fade away in the natural. You're after one that's gold eternally. Amen. That's gold eternally. Athletes train hard for medals that tarnish and fade. You train hard for a gold medal that is forever. We're not training to stay here. We're training to reign with Christ. We're therefore competitive because there's something burning inside of us, and it says we can do better today than we did yesterday. So when you get into this, I'm just kind of sliding toward home mentality that the culture's embraced. No, that's not kingdom mentality. No, we can do better today than we did yesterday. My competition is with my last success. If I accomplished something good yesterday, I can accomplish something better today. If I was strong yesterday, I can be stronger today. If I can grow spiritually an inch yesterday, I need to grow 2 inches spiritually today. This is the mindset and the attitude of Christ's kingdom. What we did last year, we can do better this year. What are we competing with? We're competing with, listen, less than ourselves, less selfishness, less self-centeredness, and reaching to those who need restoration in our community. Because as I said to you several times, and I've heard this said, and I've watched pastors implement this when their congregations have exploded over a period of time, it takes an unselfish church to grow. An unselfish church to grow. What we did last year, we need to do better this year because God wants us to be constantly revealing that there's always more to him to be seen. He wants us to understand there's more of him to be seen. And what God did for us last year, he wants to do more for us this year. Anybody going to stake your claim on that? We need to look at what God did last year in our lives, evaluate this. What did you help me do? What did you do in my heart and life? And I evaluate that. And if we show no improvement, then we are failing the potential God placed in our lives. As passion for Christ's kingdom, there is a greater you on the inside of us that can do better this year than we did last year. And when we speak of new, it's not about rearranging the platform. Nor is it about rearranging leadership, although fresh makeovers are pretty good once in a while. But it's about doing better this year, right? I am not one to stagnate. I have more desire, more passion to see more this year than last year. And if you made it this far, you might as well go all the way. Amen? If you made it this far, let's go all the way with this. There's an inner testimony. You are not in survival mode any longer. That's not what God's called the church to do, to be in survival mode. That's not our calling. You're not on a respirator hanging on for dear life. And there are signs everywhere that you can accomplish anything that God sets before you. You will not fail. He didn't build his church to fail, but to prevail. And Pastor, what are we fixing to do? Nothing that God doesn't want done. Whatever God wants done, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be sure we are loving like Jesus. Amen? Living like him and leading like him. And well, how does that work? How do you translate that? Well, let me give you one example. Those that are aging in the population of our church, they always need to be honored. That's the way his kingdom works. Read it in Scripture. Honored. Understand the battles that they fought. And some will say, well, I don't have the energy level I had years ago. You can do something. You can always do something. The option is not to do nothing. God was good then. He's good now. And we need those who can witness what God did in the yesterday, because some have forgotten what God can do today. And we need to make sure we are connected generationally with people from generations who've come before us and generations that are coming after us. God was good then. He is good now. Amen? Amen. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're not paying attention what God's been trying to do in the now, because we haven't tapped into the people who have come before us and their message of what God did in their lifetimes. So what we can do here, we need those who have traveled before us to show we who are younger how it's done. Yeah, because I'm still being mentored and still being helped. So before you walk off the stage for good, you have passed along what you have learned. And we need to hear from those who have learned so much on this journey. David, hear his testimony. And here's the generations. I have been young and now am old, yet have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He has a message that's generational. Amen? And we have come to those, listen, we have to have those who have endured over time so we can learn from them. They are not to take a seat, and we should not permit them to take a seat, push to the side, but pull them in and keep them around. We need to hear what God has done in their lifetimes. See, it's not time for retirement. It's time to come out of retirement. We need some wisdom in order to succeed. We've got to have the wisdom of God in order to make sure we don't repeat mistakes that came before us. Some things we face, they're not the first time. So therefore, we need those with wisdom and those who have endured. What was it like when you went through this? And they say, well, we've seen that before. And if God worked it out then for us, he's going to work it out now for you. And they can tell you specifically how it happened. Amen? Amen? Now, some things just don't scare me because it's not the first time. I've lived long enough that some of these things and seasons and cycles have come more than once. And if I haven't seen it, there's somebody in ministry who has to help me navigate it and gives me wisdom. Say, this, yeah, I know, I've been there. Wisdom to overcome an obstacle. Say, there is something happening here. Say it. Say, it's major. And I'm so ready, I am so restless for God that I have a hard time sitting down or standing still. I can't rest until something starts happening. And it will not just happen in me. I want to activate this entire congregation to embrace what God has for us now and the future. And there's a wave of God, an outpouring new to our region, and it's already begun. God wants to start something here that will be immense, a wave. Why? It says, behold, be aware, have you heard? That's what God is saying through the prophet. Behold, be aware, have you heard? And if you don't observe it, you will miss it. God said, behold, I will do a new thing. And everyone is speaking about change, but they're speaking about the wrong change. You know, we can turn the pews all around. It won't change anything. We can change the lighting. That doesn't mean anything. But when God ushers in his empowerment, when his presence fills the room, that's going to change everything. Amen? When God ushers in his empowerment, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. When we sing praises to the Lord, he will show up. And the master never shows up without showing out. Every time he shows up, he has something he's going to do. And there's a wave of God's Spirit that's going to hit our church and our community and our region. Listen to me. It will affect the government. It will affect education. It will break up religion in the church. It will overrule entertainment that's entered the church. This next wave will affect everything. It's a new wave, but it's a God wave. And if you desire God to intervene, I dare you to celebrate for it for a moment. celebrate for it for a moment. I've been studying praise. When my mouth gets tired, I go to the next tool. I clap my hands. When my hands get tired of snapping, I'll lift my hands. Right? Thank the Lord. When my body gets sick, laughter does it good like medicine. So I did some research and I printed out some stuff about praise. And looking up some of the words that God has given us by the Spirit concerning praise. And if you look at history and you look at God's people, that they have a strong passion for worship. And where there's a strong passion for worship, there's always been strong manifestation of the presence of God. They're always tied together. Now, Solomon was so serious in his intention to worship God. Listen, it says that he wanted his people to learn properly how to worship God, and he assembled the temple and the best of everything that you could assemble into that building. And Hebrews 2 and 12 says that when we worship, did you know, you look at this in Hebrews 2 and 12, write it down, look it up when you get home, that Jesus is in the middle of leading worship in heaven, that he himself stands up and gives glory to the Father. Hebrews 2 and 12, he knows how to worship. He is still a worshiper of the Father. And worship was a part of the early church. Look at it says in the book of Acts. It says in Acts 2:46, it says, watch, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So they went to the house of God, and they did communion, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat, and they had fellowship. So they worshiped together. They broke the bread of communion together. They had fellowship time. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, once again in unity, doing what? Praising God. The word praising is the word worship. And the Greek word for that is an interesting one, proskuneo. It's a compound word that means to fall on the ground and kiss. And every time you look at God's word, you find out something extra new. To fall on the ground and kiss. It's an expression of reverence, picture of someone who's prostrated himself or herself physically, or spiritually or mentally, bowing before God and worshiping. And so when we enter into times of worship, what we're doing is we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. And we come before, and it says he inhabits or enthrones himself in the praises. Hebrews simply says he sits enthroned on the praises of his people. So when he comes in this way, he comes with glory. The glory of the Lord. And the glory in the Old Testament described the presence of God that was so heavy and so weighty that you could feel it in the atmosphere. You could feel the weight of his presence. Ever feel the weighty presence of God in a service where it becomes heavy? The manifestation of the glory of God. And I shared with the crowd on Wednesday night when years ago when Catherine Kuhlman was in the peak of her ministry. And by the way, it didn't start peaking until she got up into her late 50s and 60s, and it began to peak. Do you know that there were 1 million verified miracles of healing that took place in her ministry? 1 million verified. And she sent them to doctors to get checked up, and there were 1 million verifiable healings that happened in her meetings. And she wouldn't come to the platform because she would listen in the back. And some people thought, well, she's arrogant. She won't come out. She's going to make this grand entrance onto the stage. And it got her all wrong. She didn't do that. What she was doing back there is she fell on the ground and kissed the Lord on her face behind stage. She'd be back there asking God to show up and to do whatever he wanted to do among the people. So when she stepped out, finally, only would she step out when she sensed there was a oneness in worship among the people. And when they were all singing with one voice, and when they were all in one accord, she would step to the platform and begin her ministry. And stuff happened in those places. I remember being a part, watching that stuff. It was like unbelievable what God was doing, because it was the glory of the Lord, a heavy, weighty atmosphere of the presence of God. Amen. And listen to me. We need to remember when the enemy is attacking us to immediately default to worship, immediately default to praise. When my body gets sick, laughter does it good like a medicine, and even laugh in the face of the devil. I will be healed tonight. Let that be your declaration. Some of you came in here not feeling well. The word says laughter will do you good like medicine. So why don't you go ahead and laugh at sickness and dilemmas, because you're getting better by the moment. That's an announcement of praise. It's an acknowledgement of the presence of God that manifests when we love Him and worship Him. And some people stand while they're worshiping, and some kneel. Some lift their hands, thanking God for His presence. And when I exhaust English, when I exhaust my ability to find human words, excuse me, I'm just going to begin to lift my hands and say, Father, ki randoro bo shata kaba santa kapata. I will praise you in another language, and I'm not talking to you. I'm giving praise to God in another tongue and giving Him glory. I'm confessing that God is a good God in spite of situations, in spite of circumstances, in spite of pain, in spite of brokenness, in spite of children in rebellion. You are still a good God. Amen. Is anybody free tonight? And don't try to stop us from praising, because if we can just open up our mouths, the word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let me help you. We have to use wisdom. See, it's not about change on the outside. We are in a season of internal change. The Holy Spirit is here to bring us a double portion anointing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. This thing is just, man, it's just absolutely going to explode. It will spring forth. Shall you not know it? When God reveals Himself, we're going to watch an entire culture become uncomfortable. Listen, because the culture, looking at the church, and sometimes, rightly so, not having the impact any longer it once had in the culture. The culture thought, for the church, it's over. We got you boxed into your buildings, and that's exactly where you need to stay. The culture thought the church was in retreat. Little did they know. We would never rise again. We would be confined to our campuses and no longer be able to be a voice in the culture. The church has been destined not to just be stable, but to go beyond stability on to triumph. High five your neighbor and tell them, we came to triumph. Amen? I said, we came to triumph. Behold, 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 the prophet said. The prophetic word, when I say watch this, intended that when God began to do a new thing, we won't miss it. Be careful. You might have been walking with some spiritually blind people. And God says, open up your spiritual eyes and see. Observe. When you're watching the culture in corruption, falling completely apart, we've got the only message of hope in the culture today. That's it. No other hope. Because they're going around and they're exposing this one, exposing that one, going back 20, 30, 40 years. Sometimes more current than even that, and people getting the lid blown off, and all of a sudden there's a newfound awareness that there's some practices that are wrong. Now, for some, it's just political exploitation, but the understanding that certain practices and behaviors are not acceptable, and they're wrong, and they need to be righted, and here's the caveat. No matter how hard they try, they can't self-fix. They won't be able to stop themselves. They can't fix themselves. They don't possess the power, see? But you and I have the only message, because we have the source of power, because we have power to become children of God and to live in our culture and behave ourselves appropriately rather than inappropriately. Amen? And we have the answers for this culture. You know, my body needs some rest every now and then. Not much, but once in a while it's good. It feels good when my body gets a little rest, because I punish this thing and push this thing all the time, never stopping. And I appreciate it when I get a little bit of a, yeah. But for the best of athletes, they know they have to remain in condition. So they will work just as hard, even in the off season, to stay in condition. So they're ready to win championships in season. When I get on the field, when I take the floor, things will come out of me you didn't see in this season. While others want to take time off, I'm sharpening my axe, running with those who desire to win, because iron sharpens iron. So I'm not going to get dull. I'm growing sharper, a deeper revelation, not satisfied in the shallows. Calvary Christian Center, if you will hear the sound, learn how to respond, because God is moving right now. Tell your neighbor, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I am discerning of the times. And I'm thankful for the Sons of Issachar anointing. We've got to have that today. The gift of discernment in our day. Discerning of the times. And I desire to do what God wants for His kingdom people. And if you're ready, God will do a new thing. A shift will happen. And a major prophetic anointing, listen to me, is coming on our worship leadership. Did you not notice that in the last few weeks? It will be easier as worship just flows. And you'll get swept right up into the presence of the Lord. And we're leaving pause mode. Listen, resistance is evaporating. And we're flowing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking the other day, I was telling my wife, I need to do or spend a little block of time every day and do some cardio. And I can't get the place where I need to go over at NSF because of scheduling. I just need to do some cardio before I even leave the house, just as I do spiritual cardio. And I need to get something I can use to do that. And because where I failed yesterday, I'm not going to fail today. Where I made mistakes yesterday, I will correct today. That's why, behold, it's a new day. I want to get an athletic condition for what God has ready for us in our day. I want to learn from my mistakes. I want to be in spiritual condition. I learn from my setbacks. I know what pain is. And certain decisions cause pain. But let me tell you, pain is a good teacher. This time, I track differently. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Not because the former move of the Holy Spirit didn't work. It did for them. But God's ready to do a new thing. Are you ready for a new thing at Calvary Christian Center? And we are a body. I know what my gifts are. You should know what your gifts are. The body of Christ is designed so that you operate in your gifts and your neighbor operates in their gifts. But if you are truly connected, then we learn from one another and gain from one another. That's how we grow. I have you now. You have me now. And how dare you walk away, and all you have when you walk away is you. That's it. That's not the way God designed us, to be independent of each other, but to be dependent and codependent on the Lord and with each other. So if you get around anointed members of His body, your anointing will increase, because iron sharpens iron, and we're designed to rub off on each other. We get into alignment with the next thing that God's trying to do in the church. So when you go home, there should be a behold. When you go to work, there should be behold. When you are at the doctor's office, behold. At the conference table, behold. And the power of God magnified in His body, it overcomes all the plans of Satan. Behold, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Let the church say amen. Amen. Now, first of all, we will break records. We will break existing records. I want you to watch this. You might want to write this down. First of all, we will break existing records. This is the plan of God. It's been too long, and it's time we break out. There are projects to fund. There are people to help. There are needs to be met. There are ministries to take care of. We are going to break out of the status quo. I'm ready for that. And we come up on this new year out of the status quo. There'll be no reference points for where Jesus is taking his church because we've never been down that road before. Jesus has a model for his church that is kingdom. I said, Jesus has a model for his church that is kingdom. If you want to take a look at what the template is, you go to the first chapters of the book of Acts and you look at the church of its day and you will see the template for a kingdom operation. It's a kingdom operation. And now what's happened over decades, most of the Western church has only enjoyed, I say most of the Western church has only enjoyed entry level of what God wants and his plan is for kingdom church. When the Western church can barely average 60 to 80 people on a Sunday, we are still at entry level. That's not New Testament. New Testament, there's explosion of what God is doing in communities. And so God has a template. It's called kingdom. And most of the Western church has never entered that model as yet. God wants us to go there. I want to go there. I've got a hunger to be there. I want to be a part of that. Amen? I've got a passionate hunger and desire for what God wants in his church like I haven't had even when I was young in the Lord. Second, while some desire to win by one step, behold, the Lord wants his church to win by large margins. I said, by large margins. Are you okay with that? Yeah. Is that uncomfortable for anybody? The Lord wants his church to win by large margins. Winning by large margins. You don't have to dive across the finish line. You're not going to win by a nose. I barely got across the line. You're going to win by such large margins, you won't have to strive. You're just going to jog right across the line by a large margin. God will cause his church to win largely. And when you look back, you won't believe you defeated the adversary by that much. No more marginal victories. Not an offering that just barely covers the debt. So many churches struggling like this. You see, some don't pray correctly. Their prayer is for enough income to cover the debt. Give us enough, Lord, to just cover the debt. I'm not interested in just enough to cover the debt. I believe for enough to build a new campus without debt, right? With leftover. So I shout with joy that we can be able to feed the homeless in a facility to a sit-down Thanksgiving Day meal. That's what I see. Not just distribute it, but bring them on board in a facility we've created so that we can sit them down and give them a full-on Thanksgiving Day meal. So the limits are coming off of you, and the limits are coming off of your pastor because Jesus never put a limit on a kingdom believer, ever. So when you are winning by a large margin, you're not looking back. You don't know the condition of your adversary. When you're heading forward, you're not looking back. Let me help. God did not put a rear view mirror in our line of sight. He didn't give you rear view mirrors to look into. When God gives us a vision, he does not build in a rear view mirror. So don't be looking over your shoulder all the time. There are people I've observed, they're doing so well, and I've watched them, and they begin to look over their left shoulder. And they keep looking back, and the next thing you know, someone passes them on the right side. Just catches right up to them and goes right by them. I've watched that in sports. I've watched that. They've got their opponent where they want him, and then somehow they think it's okay, and they let up just enough, and the opponent gets back up, and next thing you know, the opponent wins. So I've made up my mind, anything that doesn't get in my view, just do the wave, bye-bye. Bye-bye. bye-bye to everything behind you, because you're focused on what is ahead of you. I'm looking forward to what is ahead, forgetting that which is behind. Because if you're focused on what's in front of you, you're going to have a behold. That's what you're going to be looking at. Behold, look what I have for you. Calvary, we can't see the new thing. We cannot have a behold looking behind us. When you look back, it's like, oh. When you look back, it's, oh. When you look forward, it's behold. You're okay with defeating the adversary by a large margin? I said you're okay with defeating your adversary by a large margin? Anybody okay with that? Now, I know some of you are humble. You're just humble. Pretending to be humble, some of you. God says in His Word, He will shift us ahead. A quantum leap. Now, strap in. You say, I'm humble. And if you say, I'm humble, and you are resisting where God wants to take you, incoming text, that is rebellion, not humility. Okay. Can I say it again? I will. You say, I'm humble. If you say you're humble and you're resisting where God wants to take you, that is rebellion, not humility. Where is it God wants to take you, but you're resisting because you're comfortable? Looking back for comfort to satisfy you. Because when you look back, see, you're forgetting all the valleys, because all you're looking back at is the mountain peaks. So everything looks beautiful behind you. So gorgeous. It was so much better back then. Really? You must have forgotten all the trials. It's convenient how we forget and drop off some of the stuff that we had to go. Listen to me. Looking back for comfort just to satisfy one. No. We will satisfy the will of God because there is a behold in front of us. I cannot be comfortable where I used to be. I'm not comfortable back there. I remember speaking about a donkey's head and dove droppings several years ago. And the dove dropping is where the presence of God once was. It represents the old. It's stale. Will we hang around in the past? Will we remain in the past or go where He is now? You see, when David's firstborn died shortly after birth, he said, my child can't come back to me, but I can go to him. We will not go to him traveling backwards. We're only going to go to him traveling this way. Thirdly, we set higher standards. We set higher standards. In the behold moment, because we are kingdom, we set higher standards in lifestyle. There needs to be a difference between how we live and the culture lives. I got one amen on that. I said there needs to be a difference. In lifestyle, in ethics, in honoring members of His body. The Corinthian church had a big problem honoring members in the body, because some would come to communion because they would have a meal before they went to the table of the Lord. And some of the people that were getting there early would gobble up most of the food and not leave anything for anybody who came in a little bit late. And boy, does Paul give them what for? In not honoring other members of the body and making sure that everybody was able to share in the tables that were prepared to give meals to people in the body of Christ. In honoring members of the body, in our finances, in our speech, in our behavior. And we look at the core of perversion in our culture and specific elements of our culture. And my goodness, we've got to live a different lifestyle than this culture is living. Others will notice and desire to join you in newfound victories, because there's no victory for the people caught in those kinds of traps where they can't help themselves or have power to control themselves, because the fruit of the Spirit of self-control gives you the ability to live righteously in this world. And some will see this that kind of faithfulness and that kind of commitment being kept and that kind of love being shared and that kind of standard being practiced and go, where do you get the ability to live like that? There are those, you see, who just came and those who stayed. There's a big difference between the two because they remain faithful. God rewards faithfulness. People struggle to get to church, struggle to make ends meet, struggle in relationships because God has revealed, behold, you can now help others run their race. You can and should walk them through the steps to pulling away in their race, not lagging behind. There's so many books inside of me, I can't live long enough to write them all. I just wish I had the time and the funds to publish some of them, because so many things that God has put into my spirit to say and to speak to the church. And what I've learned, information that's just been downloaded into my life, because God has done the same for so many. You are valuable to the body. You are valuable to His kingdom. You have possessed, behold. You've laid your eyes on it and said, that's what I'm going for. You have set a higher standard. And even when we're hurting, we still come to the house of worship. I wish all the people who were on our campus this morning could catch this passage of Scripture. David's firstborn son has passed. He lived for a while after birth and then went. He didn't make it. So it says in 2 Samuel 12:19, when David saw them, those were some of those who supported him and stood around him and protected him in his leadership. When he saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. David got up from the ground. He had been full on his face before God. Washed himself. Put on his lotions. Changed his clothes. And then he went home and he pouted and cried and stayed there by himself in grief and broke into 1,000 pieces for weeks. Is that what it says? Oh. What does it say? He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. That one just blew up in my face when I read that. Because he knew where the source of the strength would come from. It wasn't going to be in isolation. It wasn't going to be all by himself. In depression. In grief. I'm going to go pour this all out before God. He's the source of my strength. Because I know the word, no matter what I have faced, before I come to the platform, I've had to wash, anoint myself, and come to worship. Now, I've researched praise and worship because I need him more now than I did then. And even if I'm in a rare down moment, I still don't take a vacation from worship. We are in a behold moment. It's not about to happen. It is happening. And we should rejoice. And we should praise. And we should laugh at the adversary who thought he could defeat us through setbacks and discouragement. Laugh in his face. Because a cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So turn to your neighbor and smile. Come on, turn to your neighbor and smile. Give him or her your, come on, I want you to give. Some of you haven't looked at your spouse in a long time like that. It's full on in the eye. Go on, look her, look him in the face and give him or her a big old smile. Biggest smile you can. And laugh at everything going on because the devil is a joke. Amen. And he should have never messed with you and never messed with CCC, and he should never have attempted to stop you. Now you're being released. People everywhere, rejoice. 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 And never look down on somebody raising his or her hands. That's their expression of praise. And don't look down on somebody who's crying tears of joy and shouting to the Lord. It's the way they're giving God praise. And don't look down on somebody who comes and kneels in his presence. It's the way they give God worship. And don't look down on happy people in church. It's the way they express their thanksgiving to God. We have spent so many years down, spent so many years hurting. Don't stop us from this moment, because this moment is the greatest moment in our lives. Amen? It's the greatest moment in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So here's what we need to do. Let's stand to our feet. Let's jump up as fast as we can, and let's run down here and give God glory. Come on. Let's run forward and celebrate the Lord for a new season. This is our behold season. Amen. Let's hear the voices of the people of the Lord. If you're going through a hard place, if you're in a painful place, hear your pastor. Of all the people, you should be the first down here. Because in the middle of your grief and in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your difficulty, my God is in the business of resurrecting the dead. And when it seems like it's done and it's over and it's lost and you're ready to grieve and you're ready to be depressed, you should be the first down here saying, Lord, I got nowhere to go but you, and I'm going to laugh in the face of my adversary, because if I praise you, you're going to get in the middle of my situation and you're going to defeat my adversary. So I'm laughing in advance, praising in advance, thanking in advance. Come on, come on, come on. If you're hurting, get down here. If you're in pain, get down here. If you're depressed, you need to be down here. Praising the name of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Come on, saints. Praise Him.
I seek you. Mm-hmm. The more I find you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
The more I find you.
It's a glorious day. Amen.